Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, October 16th. We haven't done our memory verse much this week, so let's go over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and verse 14 in the NIV. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Let's say it again. For many are invited, but few are chosen. This is in the context of the parable of the wedding banquet. And Ethan McVeigh, our minister to preteens and junior high school students, preached on this passage last Sunday. So if you weren't able to be with us, you can go online and hear his message and be encouraged and challenged by what the Lord has to say to us in the parable of the wedding banquet. We're in the book of Isaiah, continuing on in chapter 40 today. We're reading verses 12 through 24 from the Contemporary English Version. The title in my Bible says, Who Compares with God? Did any of you measure the ocean by yourself or stretch out the sky with your own hands? Did you put the soil of the earth in a bucket, or weigh the hills and mountains on balancing scales? Has anyone told the Lord what he must do or given him advice? Did the Lord ask anyone to teach him wisdom or justice? Who gave him knowledge and understanding? To the Lord, all nations are merely a drop in the bucket, or dust on balanced scales. All of the islands are but a handful of sand. The cattle on the mountains of Lebanon would not be enough to offer as a sacrifice to God, and the trees would not be enough for the fire. God thinks of the nations as far less than nothing. Who compares with God? Is anything like him? Is an idol at all like God? It is made of bronze with a thin layer of gold and decorated with silver. Or special wood may be chosen because it doesn't rot. Then skilled hands take care to make an idol that won't fall on its face. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Hasn't it been clear since the time of creation? God is the one who rules the whole earth. And we that live here are merely insects. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain or an open tent. God brings down rulers and turns them into nothing. They are like flowers freshly sprung up and starting to grow. But when God blows on them, they wilt and are carried off like straw in a storm. Oh, there's so many things I want to talk about here. As I began to read, I thought about Job and how Job questions God and God says, "Were you there?" This is reminiscent of that passage. Did anyone of you measure the ocean by yourself? I happened to go to the ocean this past weekend, and the thought of the vastness of the ocean, to imagine being able to see from one side of it to another, is impossible. It is grand on its scale, and yet so very little of a detail in the eyes of the Lord. A second and related point is the beauty of God, our Creator. Sometimes we just let this beautiful world pass us by and don't give second thought to the fact that God created so much for our enjoyment. Just this past week in our staff meeting, Amy mentioned an app called Merlin's Bird App. And on this app, you can record whatever sounds you hear, birds singing in your neighborhood. And the app will tell you which bird is singing. It's a beautiful way to learn more about the birds, but also to intentionally think about God's creation and meditate on the creative glory of our God. Finally, I wanted to talk about the idols that are mentioned in this passage. An idol made of bronze with a thin layer of gold, how can they stand up against the God of the universe? The problem in our hearts is that idols typically aren't little figurines that we worship. They are good things that we have placed as ultimate things. As Tim Keller reminds us in the book, Galatians for You, if anything but Jesus is a requirement for being happy or worthy, that is our slave master, and we are making something other than God our idol. Another way to diagnose idols in our hearts is to say, what do I easily give my money to? Where do I easily invest my time? Whereas in other areas, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I have time for that. And where am I placing my energy? After we diagnose our hearts, which we have to do over and over, Lord, where are the idols in our hearts? Then I think our next step is to pray, Lord, help me to tear this idol from the throne in my heart and replace it with You, because I believe, as Isaiah has reminded me, that no one can compare with You. No one has given You knowledge and understanding. You are all wise, our Creator God, and You are the one in control of all things. Let's move on over now to the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. Remember, yesterday we left Paul and Silas in prison, and today we get to read about their miraculous escape. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God. While the other prisoners listened, suddenly a strong earthquake shook the jail to its foundations. The doors opened, and the chains fell from all the prisoners. When the jailer woke up and saw that the doors were open, he thought that the prisoners had escaped. He pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. No one has escaped." The jailer asked for a torch and went into the jail. He was shaking all over as he knelt down in front of Paul and Silas. After he had led them out of the jail, he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Have faith in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. This is also true for everyone who lives in your home." Then Paul and Silas told him and everyone else in his house about the Lord. While it was still night, the jailer took them to the place where he could wash their cuts and bruises. Then he and everyone in his home were baptized. They were very glad that they had put their faith in God. After this, the jailer took Paul and Silas to his home and gave them something to eat. Our final passage today is Psalm 95, verses 6 through 9. Bow down and worship the Lord our Creator. The Lord is our God, and we are His people. The sheep He takes care of in His own pasture. Listen to God's voice today. Don't be stubborn and rebel as your ancestors did at Meribah and Massah out in the desert. For 40 years, they tested God and saw the things He did. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. In a commentary by Douglas Webster, he says this about Psalm 95. It takes us back to Israel's failure in the wilderness, when the beneficiaries of the Exodus quarreled with Moses over water at Rephidim and then rebelled against the Lord at Kadesh. Moses gave nicknames to these notorious places. Meribah means quarreling, and Massah means testing. Did you catch that reference in the psalm in verse 8? Don't be stubborn and rebel as your ancestors did at Meribah and at Massah, a place of quarreling and a place of testing. Instead, as it says in verse 7, listen to God's voice today. And that is what we want to do, Lord. We have come here together to listen for Your voice. Just as the jailer in Acts today says, "Tell me how to be saved." We come to listen to you, the Holy One of God, Jesus Christ, the incarnate one, the one who came as creator to be creation to save us, the Lord who is our hope and our shepherd, our great shepherd. As it says in John's gospel, Jesus says, "I am the great shepherd. I care for my sheep." Remember the parable? He goes and leaves the 99 and runs after the one. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us and for us today. Help us to turn our attention to you, to listen and obey. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.